The Defense Department wants to improve how it buys goods and services in 13 areas. Better Buying Power 2.0 now includes 36 initiatives focused on cost savings and efficiencies. Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller brings us details on this latest set of improvements that DOD wants to make. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, first of all, what is Better Buying Power and what's different in this version 2.0?
Well, Better Buying Power started in 2010 with the idea that DOD's budget was shrinking. Well, basically, like a lot of agencies, a lot of fat crept into the system, both in terms of what they bought and how they bought it. Then Secretary Robert Gates, like almost every other agency leader at the time, launched efficiency initiatives to figure out how to spend money better, especially with shrinking budgets. Out of that effort came the idea of Better Buying. The Better Buying Power of version 1, as it's now known, had 23 initiatives across 5 major areas. The 5 major areas included DOD will target affordability and cost growth, meaning limit both the cost growth and make sure things are affordable. They will incentivize productivity and innovation in industry through profit and partnership. They're going to promote real competition. They're going to improve the trade craft and the acquisition of services. Services now make up something like 60% of all that DOD buys. And they want to reduce non-productive processes and bureaucracy in government and in industry. Ashton Carter is the Deputy Secretary of Defense. He says version 2.0 builds on their experiences of the last 2 years.
We have had built up substantial experience. We've conferred among our own executives. We've conferred with our partners in industry. We've accumulated of our experience. We've accumulated data. We've tried things that have worked. We've tried things that haven't worked. We've learned. And Better Buying Power 2.0 is a natural recognition of the fact that we can and must do more each and every year to get even better buying power and better value for the taxpayer and the warfighter.
Now, Better Buying 2.0 is focused on 7 areas based on those lessons learned. Its original 5 that we just mentioned, and the 2 new ones are the desire to control costs through the product lifecycle and to improve the professionalism of the total acquisition workforce. Now, Frank Kendall is the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. He says about half of those 36 actions are new, and these include everything from enforcing affordability caps to controlling costs through the cost performance measurement, stronger partnerships with the people who develop contract requirements, and thinking about and designing in the ability for products to be exported to other countries in the front end of the design phase instead of after the fact. Now, version 2 also builds upon the idea of what they call should cost. This is a program that requires managers to target below industry estimates what they're going to pay for a certain program and figure out how to best reach those targets. Now, part of this concept of should cost is the expansion of what and the enforcement of cost caps. Now, Kendall says DOD has always had the requirement to establish total spending for each phase of a project, but they rarely enforced it.
Set a cap, preliminary cap at milestone A when we enter technology demonstration, and we set a final cap at milestone B when we enter engineering, manufacturing development. And the way these are set is the service is asked to look long-term at its lifecycle cost for the product and other products that are in the same portfolio, and what kind of budgets it can expect to have out 30 or 40 years. And then based on that, it'll derive a unit cost it thinks it can afford. Now, we can't predict exactly what future budgets will be like. It's better to make an estimate and use that to drive, an affordability cap than to just assume you can meet whatever requirements you might happen to write down. And the caps, by the way, go into the acquisition decision memorandum that I put out at milestone A's and B.
Now, Jason, you can't have acquisition without acquisition people. So what can the DOD's acquisition workforce expect as they move from version 1 to version 2?
I think the biggest change is the focus on the professionalism of that acquisition workforce, as you mentioned. Now, DOD has always been ahead of the rest of the government in how they train and hire acquisition workers. But Kendall says that including the workforce component in version 2 is a different kind of recognition.
Frankly, I think that there's no more important legacy that any of us as managers can have than to leave behind a stronger workforce than the one we inherited. And that's what this is all about. We have a lot of very capable people in the workforce. We have a lot of very professional people, but we can be better, and we can have a deeper bench. It occurred to me a couple of years ago that the Department of Defense is a little different than industry. If I was in industry and I had a shortage in my workforce of a certain kind of skill set, I could just go out and hire that skill set from somebody else. We grow our own people. We grow our program managers. We grow our chief engineers. We grow our logistics specialists, our product support people. We grow our contracting people. And if we have a shortfall in that, then we have a very long recovery time to correct it.
Now, Kendall says DoD has recovered from the downsizing of the acquisition workforce in the 1990s, so now it's all about quality.
We're bringing in a lot of young people, and we're going to have to develop them. I'm concerned about the demographic bathtub that we have, where we have people that are nearing retirement, and then we have kind of a bathtub in the workforce, and then we have younger people that have come in. And I'm working with the SAEs on ways to creatively transfer some of that expertise to the newer generation and to give people the kind of experience they need so that they can grow in their jobs. We're also doing a lot of trying to make sure that people get the right kind of experience, that they get an opportunity to participate in source selections, do design reviews, work on contracts of different types, get out of their command and into other environments so they can see how other people do things. So there are a whole range of things that we'll be looking at, and many of which we're doing to some degree already. Just kind of give people more development.
Now, Kendall says that DoD will focus on key leadership positions first, such as program managers, contracting officers, chief engineers, product support managers, the people who basically have a lot of responsibility for the success of these programs. He says it's become too easy for employees to advance through the acquisition career level. It's almost become almost a check-the-box mentality. He says now the goal is for these people to show and earn their advanced levels by, so those advanced levels have, one, more meaning, but two, they show that they can do the work, they have that expertise. Just a quick little fact thing that I've pulled out as I was doing more research for this article, DoD has added 26,000 acquisition workers since 2008. That's a 20% increase. They now have 151,000 or thereabouts total acquisition workforce. But as Kendall said, you heard, they're either nearing retirement, so they have a lot of experience, or they're fairly new, they have a little experience, and they have that bathtub effect.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. So, Jason, looking back at version 1, how much of an impact did it have on DoD?
I think there's several examples where Better Buy in One definitely impacted DoD and how they bought. Deputy Secretary Carter pointed to the Navy. It saved almost $2 billion on the projected cost of its Ohio-class submarine. The Army saved about $2.7 billion in ammunition costs by, one, increasing competition, and, two, using actually more small businesses as they bought bullets and bombs for the Iraq and Afghanistan theaters. The Navy is also getting 20 of its littoral combat ships at a lower cost, and it's also saved about $300 million on its DDG-50 program. Now, Kendall says version 1 also went too far in some instances, such as in its use and its promotion of fixed-price type contracts. And version 2 is actually trying to bring the workforce back a little bit. Kendall also says DoD will try again around some areas where they fell short, including the use of incentives for contractors who for them to come under cost.
I'm a big believer in effective incentives, and I'm also a believer that we haven't been as effective with incentives as we could be in the department. So there'll be a number of things that try to motivate industry to perform more in line with what the government wants. When we rolled out Better Buying Power 1.0, there was some concern expressed by industry that we were trying to cut profits. That was not our intent. It's never been our intent to cut profits. And what is our intent is to pay profits for better performance and higher profits for better performance. So the idea here is to do a more effective job of aligning the incentives that we provide to industry with the performance that we really want from the government side.
Now, Kendall says DoD also will try to restart a superior supplier program. He says this started off as a DoD-wide effort, but they struggled to define what is a superior supplier. Now, under version 2, the Navy is actually leading a pilot on how to address rewards and incentives for its better-performing contractors. So it's something to watch out for over the next 6 or 9 months. Now, Kendall says the next steps for Better Buying 2 is to get comments from the DoD workforce, from industry, and from Congress. And DoD is drafting guidance that will detail how to implement these 36 areas that should come out in early 2013. We have a link to the memo, to the presentation, to all this on federalnewsradio.com. Plenty of information right there.
And Jason, just a follow-up question. Will DoD have a program office and a PEO for this whole program, someone that can maybe make metrics to see if they're really making progress?
You know, I think it's being managed out of Frank Kendall's office with those metrics. I think also the service acquisition executives also are taking a big role in this. I think they bring together in kind of a governance council. So I don't think they're going to have a specific program office, but they are definitely paying attention at the highest levels at DoD.